Today, a very intimate look at the overwhelming mercy of God.
You ever thought how overwhelming that mercy is that you don't deserve? I'll never forget. My kids are almost old enough, but I can't tell these stories anymore. When we were having major problems with them coming down at night, when we told them to go to bed, I'm sure nobody else has ever had that problem. But there they were, and I remember one night, one of them came down, and I said, "Listen, I told you. You come down here again, you're getting it." And then I looked, and he's all wet. And I just sunk with compassion. Dad, I often thought, that is just us, isn't it? We make a mess of our lives constantly. And we don't listen. And we come down to Dad. And we call out to our Father, Abba Father. And He wants you to know that's the kind of response. As you give your children that, think I'm going to punish my child for that? That's the kind of pity. That's the kind of compassion. That's the kind of mercy He has.
And that is the kind of mercy we focus on today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. A very encouraging look, a compassionate look at the mercy of God. The day God preached the gospel to Israel, Exodus chapter 34, first 9 verses. Join us. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's broadcast.
The Lord said to Moses, "Cut for yourselves 2 tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain." So Moses cut 2 tablets of stone like the first, and he arose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand 2 tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the 3rd and 4th generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." May the Lord bless tonight the hearing of His word. Well, this is a very important section, really in continuation tonight of what we started and looked at the end of chapter 33 this morning. And I think it's helpful tonight to begin with a few words of reflection on how Paul looked at this whole phenomenon and helped us to understand what exactly was going on here. Because it seemed like, and maybe you've picked this up as we've been studying this, it seems like we're going back and forth. And just the moment that we seem to have some clarity on just what's happening, things kind of get muddied up again. And the New Testament writers really help us to understand what was going on here. Paul asked the question in the book of Galatians, is the law against the promises of God? That's a really important question. He's looking at Mount Sinai, and he's wrestling with this whole thing. And his question really goes something like this. When God gave the law on Sinai, that phenomenon we've presented and we call a ministry of death that cannot save, and being under it for condemnation, does God put them in an arrangement that stands in contradiction to all of these wonderful, gracious things that he said to Abraham and said that he would do? Is what happening here something that undermines all of that? Didn't you feel some of that this morning as we wrestled with the Lord saying, "I'm not going," and then he says, I'm going"? We're looking at the relationship here as we look at law and gospel. Well, Paul says, no, the law, which came 430 years later, cannot cancel out. It's not annulling the covenant confirmed before by God in Christ to make the promise of the covenant of grace to give a seed of no effect. Well, then Paul says, well, why the law? Why did God do this? Well, the answer was given. It was added 430 years later to Israel because of transgressions, until Christ should come to whom the promise was made. So God put this arrangement in order to teach us about transgressions. We heard it in Sunday school this morning, to look at really how bad the problem of the stiff-necked heart is. And then he says, so the law was a tutor to bring us to Jesus. But now, since we live by faith in him, we're no longer under that tutor. So he wanted us to go back and look at this and understand what the purpose of this arrangement all was. The law served a very important purpose. It made really clear why we need a Savior. It made really clear why we need a mediator who can truly deliver us. So we shouldn't view what's going on here as undermining the covenant of grace, but as something that belongs and serves the greater purpose that God had in showing us the need for Jesus. That's about as simply, I think, as it can be said. Maybe not, but at least I'm trying to. Now that makes what's happening for us before us tonight somewhat helpful, I think, in seeing what's going on here in chapter 34. God never wanted generations to miss what makes deliverance possible. But you'll never appreciate that until you understand the holy standard that has to be met. There's a reason, I know it's been reacted to somewhat today. Well, we shouldn't read the law anymore as Christians. And there's a reason I want you to know we do that in our worship services. There's a reason we find that very prominent and important. Not only does it give us a way to live godly, as our Heidelberg puts it, in a thankful way of deliverance, but it does something first and foremost that we all need. If you were in adult Sunday school this morning in Deuteronomy 8, it was captured for you. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Well, there's the test. And the law then had the purpose of humbling us, right? Because if I said tonight, just like I, and the question is whether Israel saw that, but if I said, how many of you have kept the law? How many hands are going up? This has had a real purpose of humbling us. This has had a real purpose of teaching us something about us. Well, until we know that, you'll never really appreciate Jesus. You'll never understand the greatness of his work for you, who the New Testament says Christ is the end. He's the fulfillment of the law to everyone who believes. He's the end of it. Well, that leads us to where we are tonight. You have two things going on, a really simple thing, simple things that will help you to see a sort of outline here. You have the giving of the law and then the preaching of the gospel. That's it. It's really not that hard. The first scene of chapter 34 is God renewing the Sinai covenant. You'll notice that. Remember when Moses had come down the mountain and he saw the golden calf and he saw the music, he saw the dancing, he takes the stones and he smashed them at the foot of the mountain, declaring they broke the covenant. They had broke what they had promised, that they would not worship any other gods other than the Lord alone. It's interesting in chapter 34 because substantively we have nothing different now. You'll notice the arrangement is back to chapter 20, back to 19 through 24. Only now Moses says, is told, you go cut new stones like the first ones. So that's verse 1 here. The Lord said, cut for yourself two new tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So you be ready in the morning, verse 2. and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. We have left the alternate tent of meeting. And God says, Moses, now you come back to Sinai. So there's a visual here. We leave the tent, go back to Sinai. Now, verse 3 gives some very specific instructions to this. I don't want anyone coming up. Let no one be seen back throughout the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds be on that mountain. You remember what this was like the first time, right? Remember back to chapter 19. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. You essentially have a repeat going on here. There's something again happening. He's republishing it again. I don't even want a beast touching this mountain. Now, we know what Moses thought about this. Hebrews gives us some insight as to what was in Moses' mind when all this happened. Remember in the book of Hebrews, it says, "For you've not come to the mountain that may be touched and burned with fire, to blackness and darkness and tempest, and a sound of a trumpet and a voice of words, so that those who heard it begged the word should not be spoke to them anymore." That was chapter 20. "For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow." So terrifying was all this that Moses said, "I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." Moses had the first time a terrifying experience with this whole thing. And I'm standing back from this, trying to get into the head of Moses. Lord, you want to do this again? You want to start this over? Have the people changed? Are their hearts circumcised? Remember, if you're not going, we don't even want to go. But now, here, before we're going, God reestablishes Sinai. Now, Moses had just asked him, "Show me the glory. Let me see the glory." God hasn't done that yet. That's coming in a minute. We had described what will happen. But now he's about ready to be hid in the cleft of the rock. But first came Sinai again. It's a really important order that's going on here, so that we understand the whole plan of salvation. You see, my dilemma would be, Lord, we tried this. It didn't work. You want me to again hand them the Ten Commandments when you just told me they're a stiff-necked people? Have they changed? Will they do it? I'm sure Moses didn't want to repeat golden calf event. He definitely never wanted to see that thing again, I promise. But let me give you a few coming attractions in the history of Israel. Here's the first. Jeroboam said to the people, "You've gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold, your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one of the golden calves in Bethel, and he set another one in Dan. And then they made two of them. It's the very same language again. "These are your gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt." This thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan before the one. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves. I mean, you'd say, this already happened. No. We're doing it now double. But things got worse. If you look down at verse 10 tonight in 34, he said, "Behold, I'm making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among you whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it's an awesome thing that I will do for you. Observe what I command you this day. Here we go. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest you become it become a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars, break their pillars, cut down their Asherim, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. And when they whore after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and you are invited, you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of their daughters for your sons, and their daughters whore after their gods, and make your sons whore after their gods, you shall not make for yourself any gods of cast metal. How did it go? Well, read Judges 2. They did it all. So the very covenant, the angel comes down in Judges 2 and says, you've broken it again. So this is an interesting moment that he is reinstituting this. And Hebrews tells us they couldn't even endure what was commanded. So the question is after this mess, he then now puts them back under the law again. What is going on? Moses goes up with two tablets, rises early in the morning, and then all of a sudden, the scene changes. Moses had said, show me your glory. Moses is up on Sinai in the darkness and blackness of God's holiness. And all of a sudden, the very thing that he just described starts happening. Look at verse 5 tonight. The Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Show me your way, Lord. I don't understand any of this. I don't understand how all this works. The Lord comes and stands and positions him. And notice what he does. It says that the Lord began to proclaim. He passes by Moses, hides him in the cleft of the rock, and as he is passing by that glory, there is a gospel sermon being delivered at that moment. It's really something, isn't it? He proclaimed the name of the Lord, and in one of the, probably the greatest of Old Testament sermons, preached from the mouth of the Lord himself, all the law and the prophets, this was the model for the sermon of gospel right here. What is said now becomes the answer to the dilemma of Israel's failure under the law, if they would hear it. Now think of Psalm 81 this morning. They would not listen. There's something else that is challenging us to listen to. Yes, they didn't listen to breaking the law. We get that. We've seen that. But did they listen to the gospel that was preached to them? Now that's Hebrews. That's what Hebrews tells us in chapter 4. That the gospel was preached to them. When was the gospel preached to them? He just proclaims it right now. I'm proclaiming the gospel to you. You just came to the text. I love this. Here is the gospel sermon right after the giving of the law. Law, gospel. God calls this a ministry of condemnation, the ministry of the law. And then right after its renewal, we find here that he had ultimately given his great desire for Israel, his great announcement to Israel. The whole model of Christian ministry is all set out right here before you. Seven attributes are given by God of himself right now in a gospel sermon. So, passing by Moses, hiding him in the cleft of the rock, the only basis for Moses finding grace is this good news, and here it is. Verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You break it down and think of what was just said to you. The Lord, first thing that said, merciful, full of all kinds of compassion. In all of our weakness, the Lord desires to give you help. I mean, this is Psalm 103, and I've always been so encouraged by this psalm because this psalm is built off this truth right here when it was penned by David. It was this truth, because this was the statement that would be sung by Israel, and it's captured in that psalm. But it says in that psalm, as the Lord pities his children, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You ever thought how overwhelming that mercy is that you don't deserve? I'll never forget. My kids are almost old enough that I can't tell these stories anymore. But I'll never forget when we were having major problems with them coming down at night when we told them to go to bed. I'm sure nobody else has ever had that problem. But there they were, and I remember one night one of them came down and I said, listen, I told you. You come down here again, you're getting it. That was angry Moses, by the way. And then I looked and he's all wet. And I just sunk with compassion. Dad, I often thought, that is just us, isn't it? We make a mess of our lives constantly. And we don't listen. And we come down to Dad. And we call out to our Father, Abba Father. And he wants you to know that's the kind of response. As you give your children that, think I'm going to punish my child for that? That's the kind of pity. That's the kind of compassion. That's the kind of mercy he has.
And so we end today's program just how we began. Fitting. Considering just how amazing God's mercy, how tender God's mercy really is. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Thank you again for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.